Amen. I know what you're thinking. Let's see him follow that. I got to admit, I'm thinking the same thing. Hey, good morning, everybody. Has it been hot enough for you out there? I love all of the little signs that start showing up, you know, when things get real hot, little things that put on the marquees and stuff. And I'm just still waiting for, you know, some of those that address Satan and devil and hell and all the other stuff. I don't think we need any more reminders, do you? It's hot out there, so be careful this week. Hey, today we are going to continue with the third of one of our core values that we are continuing to introduce to you as the church. And I thank you so much for being a part of this. Not that you necessarily voted on it, but because here you are, here church. But I want to remind you, this goes back to these core values, go back to this vision statement that's on the screen above you. It says, come as you are, love like family, and live the journey. We're trying to create not only a picture, but a reality for everyone that comes to this church. And you're a part of that reality. We want you to be able to come as you are. You know, it's not about whether you've been here 20, 30, 40 years. Some of you have been here ever since this building and this fellowship has existed. And, you know, we want you to be able to just be yourself. We want you to come and feel like this is family. I know there's a lot of different definitions on that. We're going to get to that next week. But I want you to be a part of the journey that we're on, the journey that God wants everyone to be on. We're going somewhere. We're making history. We're accomplishing things. And without that, then why do we go to church? Why do we do the things that we do? But out of this has been birthed all of these core values, and several people have contributed to that. And I'm going to ask Sean Williams to come to the platform. Sean has been a part of all of this. He's a board member here at the church. He's married to Dana, so he gets extra credit. And we just love this man. So I'm going to ask him to share his heart for the next few moments.
Good morning. You know, I love this church. It's a special, special place. Kendall, when we started coming to church here, Kendall was in the nursery. And in 2 short weeks, we'll be taking her to Oklahoma State for her second year of college. So I've been going to school here, or been going to church here for a while. Not as long as Griff, but I have been going to church here for a while. Had some special times, had some good times here too, you know. Right here, I remember right here, I stood right here, Pastor Owens dedicated Cade right here. Both my kids, they were baptized up there in the baptistry. We've had some great times, and God's done some miraculous things. You know, we've had some great times of worship. There's been some great times around the altars. God's been good. And there's no doubt in my mind that God's been good these past years. But I also believe that God has some better things and bigger things in the future for us. Pastor Dave, favorite scripture is John 10:10. It says that God came to give us life, but not only life, but he came to give us abundant life. I believe that also applies to the church today. That right now we have a good church, and God's come to give us an abundant church. And that's what we're looking for. We want to have an abundant church. So how do we get there? Well, there's only one way that we can get there, and that's me and you. It's going to take all of us to get there. How do we do that? I think we have to have a focus. We have to change our focus, maybe. It's a twofold focus. It's an inward focus and an outward focus. First of all, we have to have an inward focus. We have to look inside. When we talked about our mission statement, we had 3 values over there, core values. We're going to have to truly value those values. That really has to be our heart. Each and every one of us, that has to be our heart. We have to truly value those values. And if we don't, it might take some change with us. A refocus and a change with us, because that's the only way we're going to make this church exactly what God's called it to be. Number 2, has to be an outward focus. We have to take Once we line ourselves up with the values, the core values, we're going to have to take it to action. We're going to have to use it. Action. I don't know what that's going to be. I don't know what God has for you. But we're going to have to take that, those values and be action. Whatever ministry God has for you, whatever. Once we change ourselves, inward focus and outward focus and make action, there's no doubt in my mind that God's going to do great things. God's done some great things in the past. I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in the future for us. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Sean. I just want to remind you as we go here, we have 8 core values that we're going to share with you. And like you've already probably keyed into this, unless today's the first day that you've been here and hear us talking about our core values, that we're going to begin showing them on the wall here. We've on our third today, and we have these 3, and then, of course, those coincide with that, and they're just going to be falling in every week as we introduce another one to you. So that's where it is. It's going to be right there on the wall, and we have 8 to go. But I want to remind you what a core value is. That core value, there's 3 things that I know it gets a little redundant. By week 8, you're going to be going, please don't share that again. Please, just don't even go there. But it's redundant for a reason, so that we'll remember the foundation. These core values are what we believe to the core of our heart. You know, you can believe what somebody else says, and it's kind of good, and it's inspirational. But when it really comes down to the pressure being put on yourself, do you really believe it? It's what we believe really deep down after you peel all these layers of thinking and reasoning that deep down inside, this is what I believe. It becomes my personal conviction. It's my conscience speaking to me through the Spirit. It is born out in my character. The second thing is that it's the foundation on which we build our beliefs. These core values are what we start building, what we really believe on. Not adopting somebody else's mindset. Maybe influenced by other people. There's a lot of great examples out there, but this is what we really believe on. This is what we're going to build on. And the last thing is this. It's a standard by which we measure our behavior. How are we doing? There's the core value. Let's see, how do we match up to these core values? And that is powerful. If you don't ever measure your progress, you'll never see your progress. We have one of those little things at our house, a little deal. I think it's a Hello Kitty or whatever thing. We're right there, Little Kitty, Miss Kitty, whatever. It's got kitties on it, you know. And you measure Mabry Ellen's little growth there. You know, ever stand up? Remember you did the pencil thing? Yeah, well, we had 5 boys in our house always inching up. We were just trying to do. We wanted to grow. We wanted to be as big as my brother and everything else. That was where we went with that. Today, I want to introduce to you core value number 3. It says that we value being a welcoming church. That's a big word with an awful lot of ideas and an awful lot of different experiences. A welcoming church. Not everybody has been felt welcome in a church, have they? Well, forget the church. You know what it is to feel welcome and to feel unwelcome. You know what it is to feel comfortable, to be received, to be accepted, for somebody to embrace you in that moment. Well, that's the church that we wanted. We value being a welcoming church. We go on to say this, that we will create an atmosphere that is inviting and welcoming to all. We are going to create an atmosphere. It's not automatic, ladies and gentlemen. It's not automatic. We have to create this atmosphere that people come here feel like they have been invited, that they are welcome here, that they're going to be received and they're going to be well taken care of. We base that off of Romans, the first chapter, verse 7 through, verse 7, Romans 15, 7, I should say. But let me read to you the first couple of verses. It says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the weak. Now, I never went to church, but when I got saved, I started going to church. Now, I don't know that I would necessarily say that I was weak and they were strong, but they knew a whole lot more about church than I did. I was the new kid on the block. My first Bible study, I went to the Bible study, asked my mom if I could borrow her Catholic Bible. I couldn't find anything. I didn't know there was an Old Testament, New Testament. You've heard me talk about that before. This is a situation where we want to understand that sometimes we who have been here, we're the old people. I don't mean age, okay? Check it out now. Back off a little bit. We're the ones that have been here. This is our turf, if you will. So let's embrace those that don't know that this is where they ought to, where this is their home. Not to please ourselves, let each of us please his neighbor for his good Even Christ did not please himself. Now may the God of patience and comfort, and his people who were of patience and comfort, I'm just adding that in there, grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify him. And then verse 7 says this, therefore receive one another just as Christ has also received us to the glory of God. Receive each other the way we have been received. Now, on a human level, that's not a very good thing because everybody's had bad experiences. Everybody's had good experiences. So which one of those are you going to pick? We're not going to pick any of them. We're going to go to the example of Christ. We're going to receive each other the way Jesus received me, because I'm going to tell you what, he took good care of you. He went out searching for you. He went caring for you. He was very, very encouraging to you, and he took care of you in a great way. So that's what we're going to do. In becoming a welcoming church, here's what we have to do, though. We have to begin with the end in mind. We can't say, well, this is where we are. This is what we think we ought to be. We got to go ahead and project to what we ought to be. That's what this value is all about. Let's pretend like we already know and we've already been there. It may be future tense, but we can get a good picture of that, and that's where we start. We answer this question, what is a welcoming church? And then we work toward that goal. If we could wipe the slate clean and create the perfect church, if you will, and we know there's not any perfect churches because we're in them. But if we could create that environment, that's what we want to shoot to for as a goal. It's our objective. That's the bar we want to cross. It's where we want to go. Because there's no greater joy than welcoming people into your church. Some of the greatest things you've ever done is make a new friend right here in church. So how are we going to do this? Let me introduce seven things to you real quick, okay? Number one, we begin by considering one another. Considering each other. In any congregation, there's a mix of people. And I mean, all you name it, it's here. I mean, you're talking about socioeconomic, we're talking about ages, we're talking about specifics, where you grew up, what kind of church experience you've had, whether you've had any church experience. There's always a big mix. So we need to consider one another. Raymond Perkins, Pastor Raymond Perkins said this, are you living your life with an eye for others in the family of God? The truth of the matter is, most of us, and don't feel bad if you did this, okay? But most of us got up this morning, and we're thinking about what we should wear so that we would look good. We're thinking about where we're going to park. We're thinking about where we're going to sit. We're thinking about the things that are going to affect us. And when did somewhere in there kick in that we started thinking about others, that we anticipated seeing others? Now, those of you who call this your church home, you knew that you were going to see certain people. You know, and there's some people you may have missed because they aren't here, they're on vacation, whatever. But most of us were thinking it from a mindset of, what is this going to do to me? So have you ever taken the time to learn other people's story, to see things from their perspective, to walk in their shoes? That's not a very easy thing to do, is it? In fact, today, I'm going to give you that opportunity. And those of you who sit right here on the edge of these pews right here in the middle, you are lucky people. Because here's what I want you to do. When I say go, I want you to gather your gatherings, gather your belongings and your people. And wherever you're sitting over here, I want you to stand up and make your way and sit on the exact opposite side of the sanctuary. So wherever you are, I want you to move from there. Cole, be my example. You will move from here. You will go this way. And you will sit right here.
All right.
Only I want you to go through the parking lot. No, I'm just kidding. Here's what's going to happen. When you do that, you're going to have to cross-section this church. You may meet somebody you've never seen before. If you see a face you've never seen, just look at them and go, this is really stupid. I'm only doing this because Pastor wanted me to. But hi, how are you? What's your name? That's all you got to do. Just remember a name or two because there will be a quiz. All right? That's all I want you to do. So everybody understand? That side's going to be over here in just a second. That side's going to be over here. You guys are going to flip-flop right here. You're going to meet a few people. On your mark, get set, go. Mm-hmm. I know.
She was asleep.
I saw that.
And when you did that, she thought church was over and she wanted to go.
Hey, Brother Jones, would you please hurry up and sit down? Just waiting on you. Yeah. I should have put a time limit on this. Yeah, we're talking about you. This is so weird. Some of you won't even be able to listen to the sermon because your neck doesn't turn that way. It's amazing how this works. And however, there's some of you didn't move. You didn't move. Put your hand up. Pastor's wife. These people should be shunned at all costs. Let me tell you what just happened, okay? First of all, it was a lot of confusion, a lot of commotion. How many of you met somebody you've never seen before? Or at least saw somebody you've never seen before? Okay, that's cool. Now, let's just hang in there, all right? Let me tell you what just happened. First of all, this. You have a new perspective on life. Number one, you are in a different place. But now you are seeing things from their viewpoint. That's where they sit on Sunday mornings. Now, that may be really simple. It doesn't go deep into the fabric of a friendship or a relationship, but at least it gives you a little bit of a visual as to what it takes to just look from somebody else's perspective. And that's what it means to be a welcoming church, that we look from other people's perspective. Because if all you see is your perspective, we'll always see people by the way they dress or how they act or what they have said or what we've heard about them. And we'll never see a side of them that God wants us to see. The second thing is this, you know, that took a physical act, a little effort on your part. If we're going to be a welcoming church, it's going to take an effort. I like what Sean said. Oh, Sean's over here now. Sorry, Sean said. Yeah, thank you, Sean. Yeah. It's even messed me up. Oh, by the way, I forgot. So sorry about this. I feel so much better now. I was non-compliant. But like what Sean said, it's going to take some action. You know, and it's not that hard. It's not that difficult. The third thing is this. It cost you nothing. You didn't lose a penny. You didn't lose a single dime. It didn't cost you. Just a little effort. That's all it took. And you were able to accomplish that. The fourth thing is this. Now they also see things from your viewpoint. They've never been over there. They've never been where you are, where you usually are, I should say. It's a whole different thing. And the last thing is this. You know, you don't have to stay there. But we do ask you to just understand. Just understand where they're coming from. Most of the things that we have that we don't understand about somebody is because we've never taken the time to understand them. And I'm going to tell you what, you can see their brokenness. Sometimes you just understand a little bit more. It's unfortunate, but we get an awful lot of calls for benevolence and requests up here, and it's sad because we only have a few moments to learn somebody's story. And unfortunately, we're like anybody else. As humans, you wonder, is this the real story? And after you investigate some of them, you find out it's not. But some of it is exactly what they told you. And it's difficult. I understand that. It's very, very difficult. So, how much do you consider other people? How much do we consider other people? It'll change your life if you'll do that. And it'll make us a welcoming church. The second thing is this, the study of Scripture. Believe it or not, God has given us this word, His word, for encouragement. And we're to use that to encourage other people. We're to do that so that we lift them up and we benefit them and we bless them. He encourages us so that we can encourage other people. Reading this word sustains our spiritual life, and out of that spiritual life, we're going to pour over to other people's lives. We're going to be out of what you do in your study for Scripture, how it builds you up and it takes care of you. All of a sudden, you're going to begin to see other people in a light that you wouldn't normally see. I've heard several pastors talk about this, that when a couple comes to them for counseling, one of the first things they'll ask is, how much are you reading your Bible? We got problems in our marriage. We got issues. We can't be together. We don't need to be in the same house. We have different opinions. How much have you been reading the Word of God? How much do you pray? It's amazing how much of that is absent from the conflicts that we have in our life, and we don't want to do that with us. As we rally around God's Word, we are going to gain a perspective that's not because we just swap seats, but because God has born something in our heart to where we see somebody like we've never seen them before. The truth of the matter is, if most people read their Bibles like they eat, they would be so full of God, it's pitiful. But if they studied God's Word, you know, in the opposite fashion, in other words, if we ate the way we studied God's Word, probably wouldn't have a weight problem, would we? Let me move on to number three. Number three is endurance. Endurance. Paul writes in his writings in Romans 15, and in the NIV, he uses the word endurance. Now, the biblical word for that is steadfastness. Steadfastness. I don't use that a whole lot, but I understand what endure is. Endure has to do with the ability of holding fast, of being persistent, of following through on something, persevering. And the family of God is called to endure. Listen, we didn't come this far to hang it up. We didn't come this far to throw in the towel. Brother Owens didn't spend 20 years here working on this church so that it could just fall apart. I haven't been here 12 years so that God could say, okay, just leave it hanging. We'll see what you can do. Sean didn't spend the time with his family and his kids be baptized here and other situations and your family and your story so that we could just be a nominal church. We're here to be an excellent church. I've said it several times. There are a lot of great churches in Claremore, Oklahoma. I just want to be one of them. We just want to be one of those great churches because God has birthed that within our hearts, and it's going to take endurance. Listen, we don't always agree. We don't always, you know, understand what's going on, but it doesn't mean that we walk away from each other under any circumstances. I found this quote. It says, "It's not the vegetables and the meat that hold us together. It's the bread and the cup that Jesus offers that holds us together." We have something in common, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of the things that we do not have in common. And we need to endure. We need to be steadfast with each other, each other's lives, each other's feelings, each other's hearts. So how is your endurance nowadays? We're not talking about running a mile. We're talking about helping, enduring, embracing other people. Number four is hope. I said earlier that we need to start with the end in mind. And that's especially true of the church. We need to see what God said about the church, what God wanted the church with, because as Christians, we may be realistic, but God forbid we become pessimistic. You know that pessimist, the old example is, you give somebody a glass of water, is it half full or is it half empty? The pessimist sees it as half empty. But the optimist, if you will, the realist, the person who has faith, the person who knows that God is still in this thing, sees it as half full. Differences and difficulties may exist, but the bottom line is this. We live for the big picture that Jesus Christ has given us. And a welcoming church is what everybody wants and everybody expects, but will you be a contributor to that expectation? That's the question. Will we contribute to that picture? Will we make sure that happens? Will we be one of the reasons that that happens? Is there anybody that can associate their sense of wellness in this church with your name? Can they say, it's because blank that I keep going to church here? Listen, you go to churches for a lot of reasons. Sometimes they go because of the music. Sometimes they go because of the pastor or whatever. You know what? The majority of people go to church because of the relationships they have there. It's also the reason that they leave church because they don't have relationships. I don't have enough spiritual savvy. I don't have enough gifting. I am not a good enough speaker to hold people in this church. And if that were true, it still would be very, very shallow. It needs to be the relationships they have with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also with His other creations, and that's you and me. And it's a wonderful privilege. It's not an obligation. It's not a just this arduous responsibility. It's a privilege, and it's what God has gifted all of us with. So we need to understand that God really wants to do that. We may experience disappointments, but we have to endure hardships because God, the God of hope, is still in the picture. He's always in the picture. So are you developing the habit of hope? Do people see you as a hopeful person? Are you a negative person? Is there always a reason for doubt? You know what? That end game says that God says, I've got all this thing wrapped up. I love that phrase, even though it seems a little bit of a cliche. Hey, I read the end of the book. I've been to the end of the Bible. I know what happens there. We win. We go to heaven. But in the midst of all this, it's not going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be tough. We have to endure, like we're saying, but, you know, we have to keep our hope alive. If somebody walks into this church, regardless of their circumstance, whether they need hope or anything else, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for hope because they're going to need it one day. They want people who also just reel of hope so that they could be a part of that as well. Number five is harmony. By the way, the definition of harmony isn't we agree to disagree. What's that all about? I understand what that statement is, but I don't think it's very spiritual. It may be accurate, but I also don't think it's really spiritual. Because the bottom line is what I say, we agree to disagree. Okay, we're going to disagree, and that's okay, but I still don't like you. And I still don't agree with what you got. The agreement, or the disagreement, I should say, is really the prominent thing that hooks you together. That's not harmony. Our indifference isn't the thing that we ought to have in common. It should be the thing that we have in common, and it starts with Christ, of course. Isn't it amazing how that you can take two kids from the same parents and they can be extremely different? But somehow in the family unit, they seem to solve their problems and live in harmony for the most part, usually because dad has a belt. That's the way it worked when I grew up. Yeah, dad was the equalizer. You ever see that movie? The Punisher, you know, whatever. He was one of the original superheroes, but he had an evil side. Listen, we may be different from each other, and we may have a lot of things that not in common. We have the same God. We have the same God. I got to tell you, man, whenever you focus on who our God is, it dissolves a lot of indifference. It takes care of a lot of quarrels. It really separates a lot of things that would come between us. It eliminates those things that would divide us. It's amazing how that my future becomes so much brighter because I have this God. Listen, we don't drive the same car. We don't dress alike. We don't think alike. But we live together in harmony in the family of God, because God is our Father in that family. Amen? I heard the story of this church that had a big shade tree. It was in one of those islands that had been built in the parking lot. It had been sacred for years, and it was starting to disease, and they decided that they needed to do something about it. They got together, and they decided to cut the tree down, but there was this one old man who just was persistent and adamant about it shouldn't be cut down. But the vote was taken. They decided to cut down. On the day that they cut down that tree, he was the first one to show up. And they asked him, said, I thought you didn't want this tree to be cut down. He said, I don't. But we decided that it should be cut down, and I'm here to help. That's pretty cool. I've told you this story again before, too. You know, our church is a church that will always be a church. We've done a lot of changes around here with some of the lighting, the screens, and that type of thing. The music isn't what it was 15 to 20 years ago. But I tell you, I remember the story of somebody told me that there was an elderly gentleman, probably in his 80s. He was standing at the door of one of those contemporary churches, if you will. And I don't say this derogatory, just by description. A lot of loud music in there. It was blacked out, lights going crazy. And this guy's handing out bulletins. And somebody asked him, said, surely you don't like that. He goes, no, I don't like that at all. He said, but I sure do love those young people who like it. You see, there's an issue there that harmony always gets us to the point of being together for a certain reason, and it's called God. Number six is praise. Praise. When you stop and think about it, some people, they come to church, and they're just all full of joy and thanksgiving. They just can't wait to just blow over. They just can't wait to just get started, you know. You don't have to ask them to start. Philip Bright, you know, Philip, this guy up here. You know, Philip, every now and then he doesn't know. If you'll just stand in one spot when you worship, it should help everybody, okay? But you wander off, and then you come back over here, and your hands are raised, and you got this look on your face like, I really love Jesus, okay? Knock it off, all right? Knock it off. It's a little disgusting. We really don't want to see it. Obviously, I'm being facetious. Isn't that cool? But the thing is, you don't have to be Philip Bright. You don't have to be like him. You just be yourself. But there's people that got, but then other people, sometimes they come in and they're just dragging these big old empty buckets just ready to be filled because they are empty. And when we praise God, as Paul says, he says, together we praise God with what? One voice. We praise him together with one voice. We have to remember that worship is not for our benefit, it is for God's benefit. But when we worship together, we all benefit. And you know what? Here's the thing that I want to get to as a welcoming church. When I praise him, I find it easy and I find it encouraging to praise others. As I praise him because he's my heavenly father, now I want to praise you for being a great kid of the same dad. I want to praise you for what you do in church. I want to praise you for what you do for God when you're not in the church. I want to find those opportunities to say, it was so cool. I heard you did this. Thank you so much. We all want a pat on the back. We all want praise. We don't do it for that, but it's really cool when God does that. When I praise him, I always find it easy to praise others. And listen, if I only praise God when I get to church, then it's one-dimensional. It's just one facet of my life. It never bleeds over into anything else. There's nothing praiseworthy about my life. But God says, I want you to be praising me in all that you do. And when you praise others, that's a part of it. And I bless you as you bless me. Number seven, our last one, is following the example of Jesus. The key scripture we associated with this core value, we value being a welcoming church, that we're going to create this atmosphere that is inviting and welcoming to all. We look at this scripture and we're just excited about it because it says, receive one another just as Christ also received you. In the NIV, it says accept. Don't you love that word, accept? Accept one another. Everybody wants acceptance. It's one of the greatest needs of man. We want to be accepted. We want somebody to approve of us. We want somebody to say, I like you. I want to be with you. I want you to be my friend. And I want you to be my friend. We want to be this thing together. It's called acceptance. And that's what Jesus did, and it's awesome. We should welcome each other as Christ also welcomed us. And like I said, there's a lot of human elements out there that haven't done a great job of welcoming. But if God is still the head of the church through his son Jesus Christ, then all of us can steal his example and be that person and be welcoming and outgoing because we know how Christ accepted us. We know what he gave up. He gave up his life so that we could live. And here's another cool thing about Jesus. Remember how you swapped places a little while ago? Jesus came to us. You know what Jesus did? Jesus said, that's rough down there. I'm going to move in. And I'm going to experience what you experience. I'm going to rub shoulders with you. I'm not going to sympathize with you. I am going to experience side by side with you exactly what it takes to live this life. And I am going to bless you, and I'm going to take care of you and watch over you. Someone said the believers, the Christians, the church is like a bunch of wheat or the grain that has been put together, ground into meal, if you will, put together, put in the oven to produce bread. But by itself, it tastes nothing like, and it looks nothing like the end product. You and I, as we contribute to being a welcoming church, is going to produce something that you cannot do on your own. And I cannot do on our own. And a few of us cannot do on our own. But if all of us, whatever God challenges us to do, big or small, whether it's just a stinking grin on your face, or a handshake, or whether you're involved in ministry and serving, attending a small group, or before church class, whatever it is that God gives you to do, we are going to make a contribution to this, and we're going to become this welcoming church. So do you think about your Lord Jesus Christ, or do you imitate him? You just talk about him? Is he a great buzzword, or do we literally imitate him? I think that's what we want. I really do. I believe it with all my heart. A welcoming church. You know what our job is? Our job is to make sure that that banner literally leaves the wall and becomes physical activity. Our job is to make that banner come alive. And it's not just Sunday morning, ding, time to go to work. and we throw our little smile on, and we're going to be welcoming, and we're going to be caring and stuff like that. No, it's going to bleed over into the week. You know, the people, and I love you. I just love the people here that I see, and I know your faces and that type of thing, but I don't know your lives. And I don't know what you go through during the week. And I just pray that somebody here in the church does. Because that means that you're just kind of living in the margin. Now, let me explain that. From the church's perspective, you're living on the margin. If something happens, do we have enough connection, relationship that we could help you? That we would be that welcoming church, that ministering church, that caring church? And we want to be a welcoming, inviting church to where you feel safe, secure, and comfortable to ask anything that you need. And that we would also be in a position to provide everything that we can. You see, it's a two-way street. And that's what a welcoming, inviting church is. And we've got to create that atmosphere. I want people to walk into this church, read that banner, and go, wow, they really mean that. They really mean that. It's not just a cute little thing. Throw a scripture on there. They really mean that. That's who we want to be. Amen? I should have closed your eyes and bow your heads for me just for a second. I'm going to run back through these seven, and I just want you to think about it just for a second. Is there an issue, or should you be more considerate of others? Listen, this is not condemnation time. This isn't about let's create and let's identify the bad things in your life. No, not all. But we all need to understand that if there's a part of me that needs to be a little more considering of other people, and it's not just being polite and giving up your parking space. We're talking about that I go and make the effort to learn somebody else's life. I go beyond a greeting and a handshake and begin to know them. Maybe I even end up inviting them to go to lunch with me, exchanging phone numbers. Oh, God forbid. How cool would that be? How would it yell and scream, I care about you and I care beyond just attending the same church service with you, but I want to go beyond that. How many of us have neglected God's word? How many of us have not digested God's word? And the reason we can't be a part of this picture in many ways is because we are incomplete. But through God's word, God begins to talk to us. He begins to build new things in us. He begins to build a desire not only for him, but God's family. And we want to be a part. What about us? Are we steadfast? Do we give up when it gets tough? When it gets a little indifferent? We don't agree? We're not on the same page? Do we say, well, we're just going to separate? No, not at all. We're going to just dive in that much more to minister. What about hope? We need to make sure that we are people of hope because we have the greatest hope of the world. The Bible says that we look forward to the blessed hope. He is the God of hope. And the Bible says that he will give us joy abundant through this hope that God and God alone can supply. What about harmony? You know, I think a lot of churches have a lot of great things going on. You can't fake harmony. You can't be in the same place and just they go, well, we're all on the same team, so to speak. Harmony goes far underneath the skin. It goes into the heart, into the spirit. It has a desire to say, I want to be in fellowship with that person, not just at church fellowship with that person, but I want them to be my best friend. I want to be a part of their lives. And do we lack the ability to praise? Have we forgotten what it is to praise? I know what it is to praise God, but have I praised others? Am I looking for other people to pat them on the back, tell them how proud I am of them? Have we taken one of these musicians lately and said, man, I really appreciate what you do musically? Have we said thank you to a Sunday school teacher, whatever? Well, those people have jobs. What about the people who just show up and love God? Have we told somebody lately, I just love seeing you worship. I appreciate the way you treat my kids. Thank you so much for, you know, it's just neat being around you. I love that we sit on the same pew, on and on. But the biggest thing is this, are we following the example of Jesus? Because today we need to make that commitment. You see, the greatest thing you can do in making this church a welcoming church, not for the benefit of the pastor or the pastoral staff or the board members or anybody else, but the greatest contribution to a welcoming church would be that you be the physical example of Jesus Christ because you are also following His example. That you are also following His example. And today He reminds all of us that He's come to this place to bless us, to touch us, to not wind us up like a bunch of little robots to become a perfect church. But He is the head of the church. He wants to remind us that He still died for all of our sins, for all of our hang-ups, for all of our problems. And today, before you leave this place, before you think that this sermon is a focus on, hey, we've got to start being a certain church. No, all you've got to do is be a great follower of Christ, and we automatically will become the church Jesus wants us to become. Father, I pray for everyone in this auditorium today. I pray that in just a few moments we're going to be dismissed. And I pray that there will just be a sense of heaviness that falls off of us. Those of us who need to come to You in commitment and say, Father, I have not been the person that I should be. Whether it's sin or whether it's just a lack of study in Scripture, whether we haven't been praying, I'm not here to measure those. I'm just here to say, Father, forgive us for those things. But now, God, give us an objective. Give us a goal. Give us a picture that goes beyond who I am. Help me to step into other people's lives. But the greatest life I need to step into is Yours. Help me to focus on one thing and one thing only right now, and that is You. Father, if I have not been the example and following Your example, forgive me. For today I want to recommit my life to being a follower of Jesus Christ, a follower of You. And as I do that, Father, I'm convinced You will help me to lead others. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, today, when you leave, it's 10 till 12. And I know what you're thinking. Woohoo! We'll get there early. All right? Would you do me a favor and be a welcoming church that is inviting and welcoming on the way out just as much as you do on the way in? Okay, that's a part of what the church does. Now, I'm giving you a little break here today, okay? I'm giving you 10 minutes. Use it wisely. All right? If you speed out of here, I understand. It's okay. I won't be offended. All right? But pray for my wife. She didn't swap places like the rest of you. And, you know, welcome to my house. No, I'm just kidding. I love my wife. She's awesome. Okay. God bless you. Please stand to your feet, fellowship, whatever. Leave this place being a great example of Jesus Christ and a welcoming church. Amen.